United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item of business, the approval of vouchers.
Okay, for the general fund, we have $501,287.24. For the water fund, we have $45,448.11. The sewer fund, we have $4,950.89. The capital fund, we have $192,094.38. And the trust fund, we have $1,330 even.
Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. And that brings us to our feature publication, or rather feature presentation, which is the presentation of the Key to the Village to Elton Robinson in recognition of his work and the development of our village's logo. So members of the board, please join me. Very secure. There we go. All right. For those that are not familiar, there's a logo in front of this podium, and there's also a logo over there. You know, if you've been around for a little while, you might have thought, or haven't been around for that long, maybe you thought these always existed, you know, since our founding, but that's not true. It was the product of, you know, in government, very few things are simple, and the development of a logo for a community like ours is probably one of the most complex. And so it was the product of a very intensive process. This happened in 2004. It was the summer that I was right before I went to college. So honestly, as a 17/18-year-old, not something that I was following very closely, but I'm truly grateful for Mr. Robinson's service to our village and making this enduring symbol for our community. This was a professional work for our village, but it happens to be that Mr. Robinson is, you know, one of those residents who has tremendous experience, tremendous specialization, skill, and talent, and one of the many people we're lucky to have as part of our community. So we want to recognize him and express our deep appreciation. Robinson, I think your family is trying to take a picture of you. Oh, over here. All right, and other members of the board wishing to speak?
Thank you, Mayor. In addition to everything that the mayor said, I just wanted to add a few quick points. I got to know Elton when he came to Hyde Park as my guest at the Franklin Roosevelt Museum and Library. It was then that I found out that Elton was actually born in 1933, and therefore lived during the entire Roosevelt presidency from 1933 till 12 years after that. So as I showed him around the museum, it was not history to Elton, it was revisiting his life and his experiences as a young boy, and I was the one who was learning. I think also Elton also represents an important part of American history in his professional career as one who focused on the graphic arts and design of magazines. For you youngsters out there, there was once a time when magazines like Time Magazine and American Heritage Magazine helped define our joint experiences as Americans, and that lasted for generations. Back to our symbol, our logo for a second. And I should say, when Elton designed that in 2004. You'd already lived here 40 years. So this was, so do the math, and we know how long you've lived here. I wear this symbol every day, and I'm very proud of it. I can't tell you how many dozens of times people have come up to me for a closer look. They just want to, but they kind of, what is that there? And when they see this little button that represents the railroad, the Hudson, our Native American heritage, our Eagle heritage, they're not only pleased, but I think they're a little jealous as well that we have something that so speaks to Croton over the years. And we have Elton to thank for that. And by the way, who deserves the key more than the wonderful artist whose unique design is on the key itself? And that's I think we can't forget that. So thank you very much, Elton.
Just thank you very much. Sure. Thank you.
What else could there be to say other than thank you? It's an enduring symbol, and I'm glad that we have this opportunity to share the history with everyone who maybe didn't know it. So thank you.
All right, and in keeping with our usual practice as well, we'll move this out into the center and invite the family to come on down, join us. I'm gonna push this down. Yeah, far enough. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to surprise you. So come on in for a group photo if you want to be part of it. Come on in front with the key.
Okay.
Other members of the board, come on in.
Your right side up.
Friends, also come on in. Manager, do we have the key? Keys and shot?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. All right.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Would you like to say a word or two?
Just thank you.
The podium is yours.
Okay, well, just thank you very much. It was, as you said, a professional assignment, but it was kind of fun to do it. We did several other alternatives, and they chose the craziest one, and I... aside from the fact that I feel I have put my fingerprints on everything in town at this point.
Including our podium, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. No. The walking trails, the floor mats, the tax bills. I mean, it just haunts me, but it haunts me in a very nice way, and I'm proud to be here, and I love Croton in all my, whatever it is, 62, 63 years. Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to stay on. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, there we go. People always ask that. Thank you. Have a great night.
Wow. Amazing. Gosh.
All right. Now we proceed to our next item of business, the hearing on public hearing on Local Law 4 of 26 to add a occupancy tax to hotels and motels. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. Discussion? Or I guess all in favor of opening the hearing?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Manager, do you want to present on the local law?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. So as I discussed previously, this is the product of one of the board's home rule legislation requests from 2025. The board passed a home rule request to ask the state legislature to institute a hotel and motel occupancy tax in the village. This has been an option that a lot of communities have been doing in recent years. The village did not take advantage of it previously because we don't have any operating hotels or motels in our boundaries. However, there was a recent change in the law that allows this tax to be collected on short-term rentals as well. And so at that point, it made sense for the village to ask for this legislation. So the legislature approved it. Governor Hochul signed the bill into law. And now the board is taking the action of adopting its own law to institute this occupancy tax. Under the law, it's set to begin on April 1st. That gives enough time for the village to get its own processes in order and be prepared to start collecting the tax.
Okay. So the floor is open. So anyone wishing to speak on this, this is your opportunity. Okay, seeing no one wishing to speak on the local law, number 4 of 26, do I have a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Whereas in 2025, the Village of Cortland Hudson Board of Trustees requested home rule legislation to enact an occupancy tax on hotel and motel rooms. And whereas this tax, which is statutorily set at 3%, would also be levied upon short-term rentals within the village. And whereas Governor Kathy Hochul signed legislation requested by the village into law on October 16, 2025. And whereas the home rule legislation was discussed at a work session held on December 3rd, 2025. And whereas local law introductory number 4 of 2026 has been drafted for such purposes, and whereas a public hearing was opened and closed on February 18th, 2026, now therefore be it resolved that the Village Board of Trustees hereby adopts local law introductory number 4 of 2026 to amend Chapter 204, Taxation of the Village Code, to enact an occupancy tax on hotel and motel rooms, which upon adoption will become local law number 4 of 2026.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. Discussion?
I'll wait till the manager.
Sorry, I just wanted to confirm that nobody was on the Zoom.
No hurry. No hurry.
Yeah, thank you.
No hurry on our end.
Because we didn't check with the public hearing. So.
Manager, could you, in just a very summary fashion, tell us how best you think this will be implemented, the next steps in terms of...
Sure. So the law, as it's written, and the attorney can jump in if I say anything incorrectly, that the it's on the short-term rental owners to remit on a quarterly basis the tax amounts. So the onus is really on them to report the information, and then we'll obviously know if there are premises that are being advertised as short-term rentals that we're not getting reports from, and we'll have to follow up accordingly. There is I have not familiarized myself with the enforcement mechanisms of the law, but there are enforcement mechanisms for people that don't report.
Would it be appropriate for us to communicate with them in writing, that this has been enacted and effective whatever date you're required?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Let people know, the ones that we know about that we see advertised, we can absolutely inform them of that. That hopefully that will only enhance their compliance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The county ever puts together a registry, become easier at that point. They haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
At least as of last I checked.
Especially with your mask, you got to talk a little closer.
Sorry.
I'm just saying, yeah.
You understood what I said?
I did, but I don't think anybody at home did.
The county could put together a registry at any point on this, and if they do, enforcement becomes easier at that point.
Yep. Thank you.
And our rental registry will eventually
give
us some more information.
Yeah, because the short-term rentals are required to register under the registry as well, so we'll know about them that way also.
All right. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Responses to questions submitted via email?
No questions, Mayor.
All right. Public comment on agenda items. Anyone wishing to comment on any agenda item, this is your opportunity. Oh, if you want to speak in favor, this would be. Is it in the back?
Yeah, it's on. The,
yeah. It's in the correspondence.
On the agenda.
It's on the agenda.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Christine O'Connor. I know many of you, and so Jordy and I don't know if you want to speak for yourself or not.
She might. Okay, she wants to. But yeah, we just want to speak in favor, and are very happy that it looks as though we'll be able to add the name of Lorraine Hansberry to the portion of Cleveland Drive where it's near the library, which of course is a very fitting spot. And so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's particularly appropriate that we have Lorraine.
Sorry, can you just state your name and address?
Jordy Bell, 6 Lower North Highland Place, Croton-on-Hudson, New York, 10520-2030.
Thank you.
I think it's particularly appropriate that we honor Lorraine Hansberry, who lived in our village in the summers and on weekends for a very long time, who is, after all, buried here, and who is, in fact, a great asset to the village. It brings people into the village. The events that Lorraine Hansberry Coalition has done have increased awareness of Lorraine and her connection to the village. But before that, even people, and we know, would come to her gravesite because of their appreciation, admiration, love for her work. So, as Christine said, the Lorraine Hansberry Coalition would just like to have a co-naming to honor her at the library, but also in the vicinity of the library, but specifically in the vicinity of her gravesite, which is very close to the library and on that section of Cleveland Drive. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you want to come back and give it quickly for the record. Sorry.
Christine O'Connor, 64 grand.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Ed Riley and Truesdale Drive. Hopefully later on the meeting, either our lawyer or our mayor or our manager will explain what all these labor services directives mean regarding building in Croton. I know that some of you politicians have a labor background. I have a labor background myself, but I was not a labor organizer per se. I didn't get paid to get new business for the labor union. So I'd like those explained. I'd like to specifically address the Lorraine Hansberry Coalition request for renaming part of Cleveland Drive. I love Lorraine Hansberry's play, Raisin in the Sun. It is a great play for many reasons, both for men and for women and for unborn children. It's a great play. She must have made a mistake. And she should be honored in this village with a historical sign right near the sign we want to put up near her grave. But this brings up a question of honoring people who have allegiance to the Communist Party, or they are in bed with the Communist Party or promote the Communist Party, of which Croton has many. And it's come to be that this is sort of like a liberal, you know, they're just progressive, they're eccentric. Not so. If you remember the history of communism, both in the United States and throughout the world at the time, many of these people did not denounce Stalin, did not denounce the Purge trials, did not denounce the slave labor camps, the pogroms, the killing of millions and millions and millions of people, of killing 3 million Ukrainians in the collectivization. And so Americans, especially in Croton, tend to idealize what communism is about. And they forget this key point. It was the alliance between the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany that allowed Nazi Germany to start World War II. If it wasn't for the Soviet-German alliance, which lasted for more than a year and a half, World War II would not have started. And during that time, many of the communists of Croton were fully supportive of that, just like they were supportive of the show trials in the Soviet Union, and just like they covered up, especially the New York Times, the millions of deaths in forced collectivization in the Soviet Union. So we can, they are very, how would I say, dramatic people. Many of them are very colorful, great storytellers. Some of our best artists, Lillian Hellman, you know, had a great play and great movie. Refused to denounce Stalin, even when they knew all about him. So we should talk about this when we honor people who are affiliated with the Communist Party. This was not some eccentric, you know, progressive. You know, one of these guys was an agent for the KGB. He was part of the Treasury cell. Some of them bought the guns and helped furnish transportation to an assassin who was sent to kill Trotsky in Mexico. This is not a bunch of Pacific people. So when you ally, when you propagandize, when you espouse, and when you colorize, and when you, what is the word, romanticize this stuff, that's a part of the lie. So we should look at these people straight in the eye, and we should honor them for their greatness. One of the greatest people of the century was Paul Robeson. And I give him a break. He was a black guy, Camsbury, because of what he went through. But he espoused communism. So you have to balance those two. And we should discuss that. And I think you should discuss that before you go overboard with some of these honorees. But when a great person is great in one area, you honor them. But you talk about their weak spots. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is a rebuttal? No. It's one comment per person, and that's it. You can say, you can speak at the end when there's comment on non-agenda items if you so choose. Okay. All right. Report from the village manager.
Thank you, Mayor. So just to address the question that was raised during the public comment period, we are requesting approval from the board to award two segments of bid number 22 of 2025. For roofing and masonry services. The price of all labor has increased substantially in recent years, and there's a bidding threshold of $35,000 in New York State, where any project that is expected to cost over that amount is required to be publicly bid. And so we're being preemptive here in bidding this work so that we can have somebody on contract should we need to do a roofing project, or we have a masonry project that we're awaiting to do, which is the wall that surrounds the municipal building. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just it's a good practice to have some of these trade labor services on retainer, so to speak, so that if projects do come up that we need to do, we can undertake the work without having to have a delay on a bid. So
If I could add, Manager, that you said a good practice. It's actually a best practice. And,
yes.
And many municipalities do it.
Yes, absolutely. And we take advantage, which is another thing that's on the agenda tonight, the shared purchasing agreement with the town. We take advantage of the town's, some of their labor contracts, such as their electrician. Yeah. So.
In a sense, it has them on call.
Yes, that's correct. Sorry about that. I wanted to congratulate one of our DPW employees, Andrew Recipio, who has been promoted to motor equipment operator as of this week. That's filling a vacancy that was created when one of our former employees, John O'Brien, retired last fall. So congratulations to Andrew. And just a reminder that we are still soliciting responses for the budget priority survey. Those are due on Monday, February 23rd. And we'll be sending out a reminder to everyone to complete the survey if they haven't done so at this point. Just to follow up on our conversation from last week at the work session on the Village Court study. I have been in contact with the firm, the CGR, that we had received the original proposal from to request the updates that the board asked for. And I plan to have that on the work session agenda for next week. And so, in the interest of time and ensuring that we can get the study done, that would leave the maximum amount of time for the board to deliberate and make any decision. I'll have a resolution that will accompany that so that if the board wants to, they can authorize the study that evening.
Okay. Would a representative of CGR be able to zoom in at least for that?
I asked them when I spoke to them, and they were going to get back to me. But they did. They did acknowledge that they thought that was possible.
Okay.
Yes. And then lastly, we have a Gouveia Park meeting that's on the calendar for March 2nd at 7 p.m. That will be held on Zoom, so everyone is welcome to attend that. It will also be recorded for the website if you're not able to join us that evening. We'll plan to have our architects on the call along with the superintendent of public works, and we'll be discussing, a brief history of how, how we got to where we are basically today and some of the stuff that has taken place in the past 12 months at the park, and then what our plans are for the next 12 months and, potentially thereafter. So, that's March 2nd, 7 p.m. We'll be sending out the Zoom link, in the next day or two so that people can register for the webinar and get it on their calendars. That's it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Manager. Okay, we proceed to the consent agenda. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. Discussion.
So I would like to take out the letter from Lorraine Hansberry Coalition for discussion.
Okay.
Shall I discuss?
Please.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. So you want to discuss. Sorry. I mean, we're not actually taking it out as putting it onto the controversial calendar. You're just acknowledging and talking about it.
Yeah. Just
okay.
Discussion.
Okay. Discussion.
Of any, we're discussing almost anything on the consent calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So per our sign policy, I just want to get clarification from the manager. So with the request of the Lorraine Hansberry Committee, which I appreciate very much, the per our new naming policy that was passed, the committee made all of the necessary requirements of the ask in their memo to the manager.
Correct.
And that is why it's on our agenda. So it sounds like from the policy, if I'm reading it correctly and how I understand it, is that it is really up to the Board of Trustees to confirm that this sign would be placed. So we do have the discretion of sending it out to various other committees, but we have the discretion to vote on this.
That, correct. Yes. So, I mean, you could say, you know, I don't think there's necessarily a committee that you would necessarily need to send it to. You know, if you wanted to get information from the village historian, you could refer it to him. You know, or you could just file it for the record, which is how the resolution is written right now, and then bring it up at a work session to have a fuller discussion on it. Or you could choose to approve it now if that's what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's at the board's discretion.
Okay. So I would like to make a motion to approve it now.
Can we just do it as part of the whole? Do we have to? Does that have to be separate from what's in the consent agenda, or is it the way it's presented in the consent agenda?
You would have
The resolution suggests further.
Yeah,
discussion.
We would. If you want, I mean, we can amend the resolution to
approve
if you want to approve it. Yes.
Yeah.
I think whatever's the most simple way to do. I'm not opposing doing it. I'm just wondering what the process is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be amend to approve.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I guess you would make a motion to amend to approve.
So I make a motion to amend to approve.
Do I have a motion?
Nora just made it.
Oh, sorry.
So I'll second it.
Second. Sorry, there we go. Motion by Trustee Nicholson, second by Trustee Slopin. Discussion.
So I think that the letter from the Lorraine Hansberry Coalition really states the importance of her as a important cultural figure here in Croton. I do like the idea of an audience member of having a historical marker as well. So I think we can work on that with the Historical Society. Really, because, you know, people are going to pass a sign and not really know necessarily who she was. So I think there could be an opportunity to also do a historical marker along that route as well. And maybe that's something that we can pursue with the New York State Historical Society. I know that the coalition is also working on putting her grave on the registry of African-American graves that are kind of part of history. So that's something that they're working on as a side. But I mean, I think as a historical marker, this could be something noteworthy that the New York State Historical Society may want to weigh in on too.
All right, very good.
And it's a great idea, wonderful idea. Just as clarification for those that are listening, when we do this, we're not changing the name of any street signs. We're adding a marker on top of the street sign as an addition to it, as a special recognition.
Nobody will need to update their address labels.
Right. Yeah.
or GPS. Or, yeah. Okay. Well, a worthy honor.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right. Further discussion agenda.
Just wanted to point out we have correspondence from both the Little League on their season opening, and want to congratulate them and thank them for all the work they do. And similarly with our Rotary organization, asking for the train station date for September 27th for the car show. And I want to thank the Rotary for all that they do for our community. I'm looking forward to this year's show.
Okay, very good.
I'm hoping that the snow will melt before...
before both of those
before
things.
Both those things happen. You know, our intention for the newly renovated Dobbs Park, you know, as part of the Little League grand opening and having that field complete, you know, the sod has been laid. So that's the good news. But we'll have to hope that the snow melts before.
They are planning to start next week.
Okay.
Pending more snow, because there's a possibility that we get some weather in the next couple of days. So.
What is the time? Sorry, I'm a little bit off topic, but what is the timeline of how much time it is for the playground to be installed?
They were anticipating it would take like 6 weeks.
Okay.
So I mean, if they're able to start next week, I mean, it will be pretty close to opening day.
Okay.
The basketball court won't be done because the sports coating, I think, is what it's called, the special paint that goes on top of it has to be applied in certain temperatures, so that won't be ready, but we knew that in advance. But, you know, if they can start the playground next week, then hopefully we're in good shape for the beginning of April.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor of the remainder of the agenda? Well, I guess we're already in there. We're in the discussion. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Proposed resolutions.
Okay. Whereas the village of Croton on Hudson has owned a parcel located on the north side of Croton Point Avenue at its intersection with Veterans Plaza, also known as Tax Map Parcel 79.17-1-5, since the 1960s. And whereas in 2023, the village issued a request for proposals from developers to purchase the property. And whereas in 2024, the village board approved resolution to move forward with WBP Development LLC as the proposed purchaser and developer of Lot A. And whereas a condition of the RFP required the developer to enter into a project labor agreement with the Building and Construction Trades Council of Westchester and Putnam Counties. And whereas the PLA will cover the work funded by the Westchester County Housing Implementation Fund Program that is necessary to construct the approved 100-unit affordable housing development at Lot A. And whereas the village and the developer desire to provide for the efficient, safe, quality, and timely completion of the project in a manner designed to afford the lowest reasonable costs and the advancement of public policy objectives. And whereas this PLA will foster the achievement of these goals inter alia by 1. Expediting the construction process and otherwise minimizing the disruption to the project. 2. Avoiding the costly delays of potential strikes, slowdowns, and walkouts arising from work disputes and promoting labor harmony and peace for the duration of the project. 3. Standardizing the terms and conditions governing the employment of labor on the project. 4. Permitting flexibility in work scheduling where necessary at fair pay rates. 5. Permitting modifications to work rules and staffing requirements from those which otherwise might be obtained. 6. Providing comprehensive and standardized mechanisms for the settlement of work disputes, including those relating to jurisdictions. 7. Ensuring a reliable source of skilled and experienced labor. And whereas the village and the developer desire to maximize project safety conditions for both workers and the public, and whereas the village takes notice of prior local housing initiatives that experienced significant construction delays and financial impacts resulting from labor unrest and work stoppages, and whereas the village and the developer recognize that certain local labor organizations have expressed a commitment to ensuring that this project maintains a stable and uninterrupted work environment through the adoption of a PLA, thereby mitigating the risk of future picketing or jurisdictional disputes that have historically impacted regional development. And whereas the Building and Construction Trades Council of Westchester and Putnam Counties has approved the PLA in its present form, now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the Village of Croton on Hudson hereby determines that its interests are best met by requiring a project labor agreement, and be it further resolved that the Board of Trustees of the Village of Croton on Hudson hereby authorize the village manager to execute the project labor agreement for the development of Lot A, and be it further resolved that the Board of Trustees of the Village of Croton on Hudson hereby authorizes the village manager to take all other necessary actions to implement this resolution.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. Discussion, manager. In addition to the very formal recitals of the resolution, would you mind giving a brief, perhaps more plain language explanation of the scope of the coverage of this PLA and perhaps some of its legislative history?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. So as part of the RFP process, as we discussed in 2023, when the RFP was being drafted for Lot A, one of the requirements that was listed for the developer was to enter into a project labor agreement with the Building and Trades Council. And so when WBP was selected in 2024 as the developer of the site, they were aware of that requirement. And so they have been working with the Construction and Trades Council to develop a workable document that satisfied everybody's needs. And so this project labor agreement, as drafted, covers the public work aspect of the project, which are things such as the water main extension that's going to run from Wayne Street down to Croton Point Avenue, as well as the new sewer line from the property up to South Riverside. And this work is being funded through Westchester County's Housing Implementation Fund, HIF. And, you know, the county is going to be paying for the work. Because it is public work, the village is going to be bidding the work, and then the village board will be ultimately authorizing the bidder the successful bidder for the work. But it's not, you know, to be clear, it's not a village project. It's not being funded by the village. And, you know, this agreement only covers the public work aspect of it. It does not cover the general construction of the building.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yep. And manager, I would just add, you mentioned the RFP. Here it is. It's in our RFP, but I wanted to emphasize that it was the RFP itself was the product of our Lot A task force, which oversaw the drafting of it and was very much in support of the PLA, public labor agreement, aspect of it. And PLAs are a growing project labor agreements are a growing portion of public works projects at the state and local and municipal level. So I'm glad to see that the two parties at our suggestion from the RFP were able to work out the details of the PLA on the public aspects of the publicly funded aspects of it. And the publicly funded aspects of this project covered by the PLA are a relatively small portion of the overall project. So I'm glad this is going forward and going forward in the way you've outlined.
Okay. Further discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Trustee Slippin?
I'm abstaining.
Very good. All right. We proceed to our next resolution, awarding bid 2022 to 2025 for trade labor services.
Okay. Whereas the Village of Cardinal Hudson recently solicited sealed bids for trade labor services under bid number 22 of 2025, and whereas this bid was broken down into the following categories, allowing vendors to individually bid on the categories applicable to them: general construction, plumbing, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, masonry, and roofing. And whereas six bids were submitted by the deadline of January 22, 2026, and whereas of the six bids received, one vendor submitted a proposal for the roofing portion of the bid, and whereas the bid received was from Armor-Tite Construction Corp. of Portchester, New York, in the amount of $45,350, and whereas Frank Balby, Superintendent of Public Work, has reviewed the bid and recommends moving forward with this bidder. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the village manager is hereby authorized to award bid number 22 of 2025 for trade labor services roofing to Armor-Tite Construction Corp. of Portchester, New York, in the amount of $45,350.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. Discussion?
So this is the same vendor that did the roof for us on the Harmon Firehouse Edition that is now housing EMS. So DPW was very satisfied with their work, so they're happy to have them on board as a retainer.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Whereas the Village of Cardinal Hudson recently solicited sealed bids for trade labor services under bid number 22 of 2025, and whereas this bid was broken down into the following categories, allowing vendors to individually bid on the categories applicable to them: general construction, plumbing, heating, ventilation and air conditioning, masonry, and roofing. And whereas six bids were received, were submitted by the deadline of January 22, 2026, and whereas of the six bids received, two vendors submitted proposals for the masonry portion of the bid, and whereas the lowest bid received was from Construction Plus Services of Elmsford, New York, in the amount of $35,731.20, and whereas Frank Balby, Superintendent of Public Works, has reviewed the bids and recommends moving forward with this bidder, now therefore be it resolved that the village manager is hereby authorized to award bid number 22 of 2025 for trade labor services masonry to Construction Plus Services of Elmsford, New York, in the amount of $35,731.20.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. Discussion?
Same thing with this one. They worked on the Harmon Firehouse project. We were very satisfied with them. And assuming the board votes on this momentarily, we will be using them to start on our municipal building wall here, which needs some attention. And the board has previously allocated funds for in a capital project. So as soon as it warms up, we'll be able to get that started.
Okay. All right. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Whereas the Village Board of Trustees desires to have formal guidelines for the various advisory boards, committees, and councils that it has established, and whereas feedback has been received from the chairs of these various boards, committees, and councils, which has been incorporated into these guidelines. Whereas the Village Board of Trustees reviewed the final draft of these guidelines at a work session held on February 11th, 2026. Excuse me. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Village Board of Trustees hereby adopts the board and committee guidelines as presented, and be it further resolved that individuals currently serving on more than one board, committee, and or council shall inform the village manager by May 31st, 2026 on their decision.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Slippin. Discussion.
So these member guidelines were circulated amongst our board chairs earlier in the week. And we did get some feedback that I think is valid. So my question is, you know, I want us to, you know, think about kind of, do we have enough time to kind of go through the feedback and look at it? I mean, I think there are some amendments that I'd like to make just off the top. Or do we want to bring this back to a work session and talk about it again? Or, you know, at that end, I think also bringing to the work session the committee chairs so we are getting buy-in from our committees. Again and again, I'm hearing from our committee chairs and our committee members that they really would like this to be a two-way conversation, and I really very much appreciate that. So I'd like for there to be some forum where we are having a conversation with our committees around these guidelines. I feel like passing them tonight, you know, and again, there are some committees that have no problems with these at all, you know, and totally agree. But there are some, you know, some that have some changes that they would like to see, and I would like to see them as well. So I guess I ask my fellow board members, you know, where would you like to see this go? Would you like it to go back to a work session, or, you know, can we do some amendments this evening?
Well, I guess I'll just jump in to say, first of all, I appreciate all the work that has been done on this. I know that this was something that was very important to me. Certain people sitting at this dais may have been annoyed by how long we've spent on this because it has been dragged out for a very long time. But I do think that the work of the committees is very important to me. And I think the committees can be more effective when we... as a board can understand how they are functioning and when they understand what their expectations are. We've heard from a lot of committees with a lot of great feedback along the way. This document is in a much different place than where it started many months ago, and that is through an unbelievable amount of collaborative work. So I really want to thank everybody who's taken the time. To Trustee Nicholson's point, we do keep getting this is sort of a living document, right? We haven't had guidelines like this before, and as we start using these, I think we're going to get even more feedback in addition to the feedback that we have. I'm not opposed to going through and making some of the comment, you know, but we didn't hear back from they were sent out a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. For today, I know that we got some very substantive, very thoughtful comments back that I don't want to discount. However, we didn't hear from all the committees. It was kind of a short timeline the way we did this. So although I'm not opposed to making some changes right now, I do think that if there's some way for us to pass this and say, you know, we want to accept the work that we've already done, and then the next step maybe be a conversation with the chairs, now that this is going to be a document that is not just a theoretical document, it's now actually going to be a document. I think the next step is a conversation. I don't know if that's a work session. I don't know if that's some type of special meeting with the chairs. I don't know what that looks like. I don't want to, I guess if going through, I just don't know how effective we can be at, because some of the changes that we were suggested are not just like a, you know,
change
move that comma.
Yeah.
It's more of a discussion. But I also, I would like to find a way to get this into the end zone, which it feels like is taking a long time. So I don't.
But again, we haven't had a physical meeting with our chairs.
I don't disagree.
Right. We have not. So we can either commit to having a physical meeting with our chairs in the near future and going over these guidelines again and being open to changes. I mean, I think there, if we want to get into substance, I think that when we look at sort of the financial requirements, for example, one of our chairs brought up the fact that, we are now saying in financial requirements that we're not allowing any honorariums to happen. And that is in committee financial requirements 4.
Right.
That the practice of our committees has been to have modest honorariums for speakers, facilitators, or cultural contributors. Maybe, and their suggestion is maybe permitted with prior approval from the village manager and in compliance with the procurement requirements. I think that's a fair adjustment because that's what's been practiced. So, if we want to amend that, I think that, we can kind of go through it and figure out what we want to amend. But I also don't want to put a document in their hands and say, these are the new rules.
And subject to change.
It's subject to change. Right. Exactly. So,
I think that you really need to have, as much as I don't want to say this, I think you're going to have another conversation because, the thing with the honoraria, right? I mean, we discussed that, I think, right? And we kind of wanted to change that practice. At least that was what I thought on it. So, maybe I misunderstood or maybe there's been a change in how, in the thinking. So I think we're probably going to have another discussion.
Well, it's like what our committee is allowed to spend their village funds,
right? That's really a policy decision, right? I mean you can authorize them to allow modest speaker fees, right? There's just been, we've had a lot of discussion on this and how it can turn
and that's
into
why we need clarification. Yeah, right? I think that this clarified that it was like a absolutely no, right?
Yeah.
How it reads. So I think we need to have that conversation before we sort of say that, because there are committees, like, for example, the idea committee brings in a dance troupe, right? The dance troupe could charge us, they could charge us a fee as an entertainer that wouldn't be an honoraria.
Correct.
And then it would go along with this policy, right?
Yeah.
So there are ways of like how we can sort of phrase things or how they're billing us for something that it wouldn't be against this policy. But
yeah.
I think that's where we need. And again, it may not be changing the words in this policy. It may just honestly be just a conversation. It live conversation with our committee chairs would be take us way further than us continuing to go back and forth.
It just all has to do with the fact that the village is not really supposed to use its funds for gifts and donations. And, that's what we're really just trying to adhere to.
Yeah.
But I think because we have gotten some feedback on this, I don't want to just pass this and sort of discount the feed. I think I would be in favor of having another discussion. I don't know what that looks like. I would like to set up what that conversation is going to look like with some parameters. But so there is space for any committees to be able to weigh in, but also make sure that if committees have looked at these and they don't have any questions, I want to make sure that we've accounted for them also. I want the chairs to see this as helpful, not as a hindrance. And I think that some of the feedback we got was, this is not going to be helpful. And that is, we can't make it perfect, but I think we could get it closer to that.
So, for a loose and non-binding time frame, right, does it make sense to say we're going to take some time for this to be further ventilated through a process to that we'll work on with the committees, and we'll bring it back for the work session on March 18th? Is that too far away with the idea of a final vote on March 25th?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So on the 18th,
I mean, right, is because like we have another work session on the 25th.
Yeah.
But are the conversations with the committees going to happen between now and then? I don't know if that's enough time.
I think we need to give the chairs of the committees enough runway so that they can take this, maybe talk to their committees about it if they want to, and then be able to confirm. We're not going to get 100%, we can't make it hinge on 100% participation, but I think we'd like to be able to get as many chairs in the room together at the same time as possible, or at least comments from them. So I think if we think the 18th is enough time, but I'm also... If we have to push it out to the next work session after that, we've done it.
If we have to push, we'll push.
Yeah.
But, it would be, sorry.
But let's have a schedule and let's do our best to stick to it.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, it would be helpful if we could get it done, because if we don't do it at that point, then we have budget. And so then we're not really doing it till May.
Right.
And, so,
and I want them to have clarification from a budgetary perspective too of what they can and can't do.
Next
fiscal year.
I think the good news is you're about 95% done.
I think so.
Yeah, it's 100%.
And I think it's like marking up any piece of legislation. Sometimes you just need a couple more days.
Yeah.
So, manager, you'll reach out to all the committee chairs and make sure that they have this most recent document. I don't know if it makes sense to share the feedback we've already gotten. I don't, you know, however we're going to facilitate that conversation, but you, so you'll reach out to all the chairs and
I'll confirm that it was the document was shared with them on Monday, so I'll just make sure that everybody has that
And let them know what the time frame is.
Yeah. And then I guess just the question that I have based on this conversation, are we inviting the chairs on the 18th?
I think it makes sense to invite them. I think
if they want to come, otherwise we want them to send their
I think it's let me think about that and we'll move on from there. But
I would minimally like to hear from them, have them send us their comments or let us know that they have no comments. Yeah. I want to just be able to confirm that we've heard from everyone or attempted to hear from everyone before we move forward.
Yeah, because I mean, I think it was said earlier, we've heard from some of the committee chairs that
everything's fine.
Everything's fine, right? You know, so.
But I really don't know. I don't even know. Because of the way the emails were coming in.
Yeah, I can very easily keep track of who has responded. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so...
we'll table this.
Excuse me, I was going to say we'll table this resolution. Okay. Okay, moving on. Resolution authorizing submission of a New York State DOT Transportation Alternatives Program application for pedestrian improvements along Cleveland Drive. Whereas to improve pedestrian safety, the Village of Cortland Hudson is looking to construct new sidewalks along Cleveland Drive, extending from the five-way intersection at Old Post Road South to the intersection of Cleveland Drive and Jacoby Street. And whereas the Village of Cortland Hudson is seeking funding under the New York State DOT Transportation Alternatives Program, and whereas the cost estimate for the project is currently under development and will be finalized as part of the full application submission. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Board of Trustees of the Village of Cortland Hudson hereby authorizes the Village Manager take all necessary action to submit an application to the New York State DOT Transportation Alternatives Program to improve pedestrian safety along Cleveland Drive, and upon determination of the final project cost, commits to providing the required 20% local match.
All right. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
Well, Mayor, it's implicit in what's written here, but I just wanted to point out that in addition to general pedestrian safety, this is really also safe streets to the library, safe streets to schools, and I think we'll provide a lot of good benefits to our community.
Yeah, this is a really big deal. Like, this is something that, you know, I would like more of the community to understand that we're trying to build a sidewalk on the way to, you know, on that side of Cleveland towards CET. I guess what I'd like to understand, is there any advocacy efforts besides, you know, are there advocacy efforts that students could do, parents could do to maybe help this along a little bit more?
I will be soliciting letters of support.
Okay.
So, you know, this is our second time applying for this grant. We tried it in 2024. We were unsuccessful at that point. You know, we did get support letters from, you know, a swath of the community, but more letters are always helpful. You know, if the PTA, you know, wanted to send a letter of support, we did get them from the school district and the board, the school district administration, as well as the Board of Ed for the last grant, so I'll be asking for their support once again. We got support from the library, from the the police department, you know, it's different, everybody that has some, you know, skin in the game, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. So if there's more people that would like to do that and share their support, that's always welcome.
What wouldn't be the deadline for the letter?
Let me just look and see. Give me one moment.
So I think the neighbors along that strip.
That's what I was just going to say. I think that people who live there, if you live there and you have children in the school, then you will be less apt to have to drive them if this is an option, because it's a kind of dangerous road at the moment. So I think if there's some way to target the outreach to those people who are...
I'll share the date with you. It's sometime in March, but I can't find it easily.
Well, and I would add, this is going to show up in a prominent place in our legislative package under the category of grants that we need our legislators to help us with.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, public comment on non-agenda items. This is an opportunity to comment on anything. Everyone has 5 minutes. Please state your name and address.
Good grief. Jordy Bells, 6 Lower North Highland Place, Croton-on-Hudson. I just want to respond a little bit to some of Mr. Riley's allegations. I'm an historian by training. I have a PhD in history, and I do know a lot about evidence and a lot about things that are sometimes suspicious correlation, and I know a great deal about the concept of guilt by association. And I believe that Mr. Riley's comments leaned very heavily on guilt by association. Yes, Lorraine Hansberry held communist sympathies, that's with a small c. She is not known to have been a member of the Communist Party, and she certainly is not known to have commented on the Hitler-Stalin Pact, which took place when she was still in elementary school, and unlikely to have been asked about it. I'm speaking as a direct descendant of people who founded the Mount Airy Colony. My grandparents were not communists, they were anarchists. I'm not quite sure how they got into it, because in fact, it's true, the Mount Airy Colony was put together by people who were members of the Communist Party, which my grandparents never were. But they, whatever political opinions they had, did not directly affect much of anything about their lives in Croton. They may have followed party doctrine, or they may not have. Certainly my grandfather never would have, because he was just too ornery. But even so, their affiliation as members of the party, yes, they had attitudes on larger political questions, but it didn't come into the village as such. I certainly would ask Mr. Riley to re-examine his notion that the Hitler-Stalin Pact caused World War II, that without it there would not have been World War II. This is absolutely fallacious. It's based on I have no idea what. On the other hand, it's not really germane to Lorraine Hansberry, because when she lived here as a writer. She was an activist in civil rights in an entirely legal manner. Nothing that she advocated with respect to civil rights was illegal. And therefore, to tar her with the brush, guilt by association, I think is unforgivable. And I think we need to understand Lorraine Hansberry as an important person who stood for very strong principles of equality, equal rights, fairness, and justice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As an historian, my fellow citizen will note that after the fall of the Soviet Union. You could go into Russia and buy the papers of the secret police for next to nothing. And out of that came the so-called Venona papers, where for years people had said that the Rosenbergs were innocent, that this didn't happen, that that didn't happen. American communists were not were not violent, which all turned out to be not true, because in the Soviet papers, the evidence was there. The head of the Communist Party USA, who used to get $50,000 a year from the Communist Party in the Soviet Union, has helped arrange for an assassin and a gun to go to Mexico. Although Trotsky was bludgeoned to death, he wasn't the assassin failed. A second assassin.
No interrupting the remarks.
I'm not accusing Hansberry of anything other than being a communist or very close to being a communist. And I'm not saying she was a violent person. I don't believe she was. She wrote one of the most beautiful plays, probably the 10 best plays in the history of the United States, and she should be honored for such. But to romanticize her political opinions is insane. What I really wanted to talk about was, I think you're going to have a problem with your idea committee. At the library, when you brought the Human Rights Commission, our esteemed county legislator said, the person who contrived the incident at ShopRite in a moment of mental breakdown or whatever is an outlier. And the reaction of the people around her to what happened to those children and the employees sort of proves the case. But in your idea committee, you have about three people who used to make a profession of DEI. They were in the business of being in DEI. They were paid by corporations to be in DEI. And they have a different opinion. They think that Croton is a racist community. And they've got plans for Croton, and they've already got plans for the school. I can't wait to see, and we've seen how the school has screwed this up in the past, bringing in left-wing organizers into the school 4 years ago after George Floyd. I can't wait to see what they have prepared for our school system or for our village, since we're a racist community, according to them. So anyone who is reasonable should be alert to what perhaps they have in mind. I'd like to commend the trustees who defended our court. Hopefully we'll retain our village court and we'll have a decent judge. I'm not optimistic about the current Democratic selection. And lastly, we've entered Lent today, which is a period of fast and abstinence for Christians across many faiths, many different sects of Christians. And during this period, we have what we call 40 days for life. That's where through prayer, penance, and fasting and picketing, Right to Lifers have the best picketing record of any group in U.S. history. We've been doing this for 50 years. Sometimes we screw it up and go to jail. I can attest to that. During this period, we'll be picking Planned Parenthood in Greenberg and Planned Parenthood in Yonkers, which is one of the most despicable institutions in the history of the United States, responsible for killing more children than any other organization ever in the United States. Lastly, Democrats can be proud. In 2019-2018, the estimated number of abortions in the United States was 850,000. As of last year, we believe the number of abortions in the United States is 1,100,000 or 1,200,000. We can't tell because some states don't report, like California and Maryland. You're very successful. You've flooded the market with RU46. You've thrown billions of dollars at the abortion business. You've reduced that birth rate below replacement rate. And this is the old economic theory. If you want more of something, subsidize the hell out of it. And that's what you've done. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Susan Scraglia, 56 Truesdale Drive. I just have a clarifying question. I was watching at home, and I know that you guys, the majority, just voted and slip and abstained on an agreement between a unionized company and WBP to do what you describe as publicly funded projects, such as the water line that's going to be running through Main Street. My question is, why am I and every other Croton resident subsidizing this project? WBP is a private company, clearly in business for making money. If I decided to build on Lot A tomorrow, would you guys be subsidizing this project for me? And honestly, I'm not being facetious. Like, I just really need an understanding. There's currently a structure there, and who's funding it and why? Not even necessarily that I have an issue with unionized workers. I'm a teacher. I work for a union. So it's not even about that. It's about understanding and where our taxpayer money is going and why. Additionally, I was curious to know when you knew they were going to break ground. And lastly, since I'm here, I figured I'd just put on the record that I am not in favor of us dissolving our courts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, seeing no one else wishing to comment, we'll proceed to reports. But since the factual inquiry was made, Manager, do you want to address that?
Sure. So in terms of the Lot A, the PLA, the funds are not, they're not village funds. These are Westchester County funds that are made available for the express purpose of building affordable housing, right? It's the Housing Implementation Fund Program, HIF. And so developers from throughout the county can apply to Westchester County through the Department of Planning to get access to these funds. And then ultimately, the disbursement of those funds is approved by the Board of Legislatures. So it's not, so it is public money in that it's coming from the county, but it's not village tax dollars that are being used.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. I don't have too much to say other than I was glad to see Eagle Fest was rescheduled. I was disappointed I was not able to attend because of the rescheduled date, but it looked like a much better weather day. And I'm also glad, very glad to see that the Repair Cafe is coming back. It's been absent for a while, I think. So the fact that it's coming back on February 28th is great news for all of us. You know, it's the school vacation week, but there's a lot going on. Lunar New Year, Ramadan, Ash Wednesday. So there are a lot of people in our village celebrating a lot of different things. So I just wanted to recognize them this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'll just speak to the IDEA committee. So I'm the liaison for that committee. And, you know, it's interesting when two people can be in a room and have a very different sense of what happened in that room. But, you know, from my perspective, the IDEA committee is doing really fantastic work. We have a representative now on the IDEA committee who has launched a campaign privately called Love Lives Here, which is all about the fact that love and community exists in Croton. And it's meant to be a statement that is anti-racist, but also a reminder of the fact that we are in a community where we all share love for each other. So they're having an opening night event February 25th at the Black Cow. So if you want to check that out, I encourage you to do so. They also, the IDEA committee is thinking about various different programs for the coming year. So they're looking forward to that. I want to just point out that there is a camp expo hosted by the Parent Resource Center at CET that's going to be happening on February 25th. And the Conservation Advisory Council is very excited to have the Repair Cafe back. So if you have an item, they have volunteers in so many different areas, including screen repair, sewing, jewelry repair. you name a broken thing, you can probably get it fixed at the library on February 28th. So many, many thanks to the the Conservation Advisory Council for getting that off the ground. And I'll pass it to my colleague on the right.
Thank you, Trustee Nicholson. Before I take the field, Manager, would you mind just answering Mrs. Skrelja's second question about the estimated time for breaking ground?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Which I know is ballpark. But.
Yeah, we don't have a definitive answer on that point at this point. We are still working towards the closing on the property. That is most likely not going to take place until May or June of this year. And again, that's subject to change because we are still waiting on various approvals from Westchester County Department of Health and Metro North Railroad and, you know, different agencies. So there are still some things that we're still waiting on before the closing can actually take place, because that's one of the conditions of the sale, is that they have all their final approvals. So the breaking of the ground would be at some point after that. I don't know when exactly that would be. Yeah.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Yep.
So just a few things here. Again, congratulations to Elton Robinson for receiving our key to the village and for designing our logo, which has, I think, served us so well. Speaking of recognition, on Friday at noon, we'll be hanging unveiling the heart plaque that will have, very similar to what we have there with our former trustees. It'll have the names of the folks who have been recipients so far of the heart recognition, and as we do additional recognitions over the years, their names will be added to that. So we'll be doing that actually in concert with the Seniors Club, so we'll have a nice built-in audience there. So when people get a chance to go down to the community room in the near future, you'll be able to see that after Friday. So I just wanted to let everyone know about that. On a week ago, our WMOA Executive Committee, actually 2 weeks ago, our WMOA Executive Committee met with Westchester County's Assembly and Senate delegation to review WMOA legislative priorities for the year, and that some of those, or most of them, will be reflected in our own legislative package that we're working on as we speak. Last Saturday, we had a wonderful fire banquet honoring outgoing Chief Dinkler and former Chief Karpoff. Congratulations to them again for all their services and of course the entire fire department that serves us so well. Last night, our zoning board met. We had a very good hearing, a public hearing on 52 Mount Airy, a project that's garnered considerable interest. I just wanted to, whoever's watching this, to make sure they're aware that the hearing record is going to stay open on that, because there are a lot of folks that wanted to participate in it but are off on school break. But those that did show up and speak at the public hearing did a very good job last night. I wanted to also mention that it's always nice when work that we do here in Croton gets recognition from other communities. And both the new mayor, relatively new mayor of Sleepy Hollow, Marjorie Hsu, and Mayor Ellen, I'm sorry, Supervisor Ellen Calvis from the town of Bedford, expressed some interest in some of our projects. We had the opportunity to show Mayor Hsu around last Wednesday, and then to brief Mayor Calvis and her team on some of the work that we're doing through Zoom, and the mayor and I did that this past Friday. So that was, a very, very beneficial experience for them to see that we've sort of taken all of the above approach on what we're doing, particularly on housing, both combination of marketplace, affordable, rental, condominium, ADUs, and they were appreciative of our efforts there. And by the way, Manager, I wanted to, in putting this process together for them, I was looking for information on individual projects, and I must say the redesign of the project and initiatives page works very well. Everything was there.
Oh, and thank you.
And even the older stuff, I appreciated that. I hope you know people will use this. It seems like everything is there, even if it's not an active project, because of the archives section, which leads you a little bit of a time machine. But it was it's all good, and you can look at these projects really from initial zoning down to you know groundbreaking, and so all the things that are there. Trustee Slippin mentioned Eagle Fest. I wanted to just say it was just so ironic we had to cancel it, or T-Town had to cancel it on February 7th because it was the worst weather that we've ever had. And then, lo and behold, on February 14th, last Saturday, it's the best weather we've ever had for T-Town. It was absolutely beautiful, you know, partly in contrast, but partly it was just so comfortable. So I wanted to thank T-Town and particularly Westchester County. When the county executive did his monthly call earlier this week, he started with T-Town. So it was with Eagle Fest. So it was great, and we saw owls and hawks as usual, but we saw some eagles too. So it was just a great great Eagle Fest this year. And I just wanted to take a moment just to talk about a friend. You may notice that the state flag is flying a half-mast, an American flag, and that is in honor of probably the greatest person I've ever known, former Congressman Richard L. Ottinger, who passed away on Monday at the age of 97. He was Croton's congressman in the time that he served in Washington. He was a mentor, a friend, a role model since I was 15, and I don't think it's an exaggeration to say I'm here today because of him. I recommend the obituaries that were in both the New York Times half page in today's New York Times, but also the one that was done in LoHUD was excellent as well. He was congressman for all of Westchester from 64 to 70. He was on our side, and on from 74 to 84, he was on the other side of the county. So between those two districts, he worked for all of Westchester. He helped save the Hudson. He really helped create the foundation for most of our environmental laws, and was just a fighter in every sense of the word. He opposed the war in Vietnam as early as 1965, even though that enraged President Johnson. And then when he left the House in 1985, he went to Pace, and just like he helped the country build its base of environmental laws, he helped create Pace as one of the leading, perhaps the leading, environmental law school in the country. And he was there for 15 years as both professor and then dean. I had lunch with him on December 18th, and he was, I think, you know, for the age of 97, he was in pretty good shape. But these things happen, and unfortunately, he did pass on Monday. There will be a memorial service to him later this spring, and I just think we should all remember his life of service, a life well lived. I just want to send been in touch with his wife June and his kids Randy, Ronnie, Larry, and Jenny, and I want to be able to pass along good thoughts from all of Croton to them. Dick, I think, will be remembered for generations to come.
Thank you, Trustee Simon.
Condolences.
All right. Well, I want to congratulate Ava Thaddeus on her completion of her first meeting as Conservation Advisory Council Chair. I also want to welcome back and welcome some people to the exciting world of public service. First, welcoming back Kent Sargent, now Vice Chair of the Arts and Humanities Council. And then for the Police Advisory Committee, Susan Skrelia and Frank Pusateri, Patrick Turner as the ZBA alternate, and Karen Pecora for the HART Committee. Do I have a motion to approve the appointments?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right. And with that, I would like to move to enter into an executive session to consider a request from the village manager to discuss a matter concerning information about a current or future investigation of a criminal offense. That's what we're legally obligated to use.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Seligman. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.